Begin the current daf, except this creases daf chav dal. Begin on the bottom line of chav gemal mabez, where the Gemara continues the discussion of the previous daf, which opened up our parak, the sixth parak hamevi asham, which continued on the discussion of these parakim of asham tali. So the Mishnah described, asham tali comes if a person doesn't know if he sinned or not. And what happens if he finds out that he didn't sin? What's the halacha? So Rav Meir said, okay, so there's no obligation of a carbon. It can go out and graze, it's just like a regular chulin animal. Chacham said, no, it's not going to be brought as a carbon anymore, because there's no more doubt. But it grazes, develops a blemish, and then you have to use its monetary proceeds to go ahead and buy a nedava, a carbon for the Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara says, what are they disagreeing about? Rav Meir held very simple, you don't need it, so it's not sanctified. Bun say that no, since ultimately he was very nervous about did he sin, did he not, so he concluded, says, you know what, whatever comes is going to be the situation, I'm going to want this to be sanctified, and therefore even if it turns out he doesn't need it, it's still going to have some sanctity. It can't be brought as Asham Tali, but it's going to have to be sold as for the proceeds as a carbon. Now, on that theme, Amar Rav Sheshes, he said, there is a case that Rav Meir would agree to the sages that you would see Libu Naikfai and that the person would be considered sanctified even if he doesn't ultimately need the carbon. What case? So as the Gemara continues to have a Tepach of Dalmat Aleph, B'mafrish Shnei Asham Islachreis, where he doesn't designate just one Asham Tali, he designates two of them for insurance purposes, where if one of them gets lost, okay, I'll have the second one to bring in its place. And v'neskapa ba'achas mehen, he gets a toma with one of them, the shein yirat sheyistav, the second one, Rav Meir would agree, grazes until it develops a blemish, v'imachar, and it's sold, v'yiblo damal v'nadava, and its proceeds will be used to buy a donated carbon for the Beis HaMikdash. My time, what's the reason? Why would Rav Meir agree over here? Because ad ken liplig Rav Meir lein derabbanan. Where do we find the Mishnah that Rav Meir disagrees with Rabbanan? That's elam mishum delay gali dait delay benaikfai. Rav Meir didn't agree that the person was so obviously nervous and anxious, and therefore he says, "Oh, whatever's going to happen, he's going to go ahead and want it to be sanctified." No. Oh, yeah, maybe it did, maybe it didn't. Okay, well, I don't need it, so it's regular chulin animal. Aval hachban, in this case that we're describing over here, mechti, let's see. That this person obviously is revealing his intention that he was libe naikfai, because chadudi ba'ile lefrushe, he should have just separated one carbon, and he separates two. My time after his tray, why does he designate two animals to suffer? Because he thinks imirkas chada, if one of them is going to get lost, mechaprana be'idachavi, so I'll be able to get a tome with the other one. Now, but even the goli daitid libe naikfai haya, he's obviously revealing that he's very, very perturbed by this situation where he's not even separating one, he's separating two. Since that's the situation, obviously he concluded and says, whatever, I want to make sure I'm done with this, I took care of what I had to, I'm even going to separate two, and therefore even if it turns out he doesn't need it, in this situation, Rav Meir would agree to the Rabbanan that it was Liba Naikfa, and therefore it's going to have a sanctity. Now, Amar B'Hudim Rav, he says the same thing in the opposite way. He says, there's a case that the Chacham would agree to Rav Meir that it's not going to have sanctity. Which case? Ba'ashram Tali, where if a person separated Ashram because it wasn't clear if he did a sin, shahuz mu'edav, where the witnesses had said, you ate something by mistake that might have been chalef. So, because of the testimony of two witnesses who are believed, so he designated asham tali. Then two other witnesses came and were mazim them, which means say they did hazama, and they said to the first set of witnesses, hey, how could you have said that on that day this person ate that safa chalef, on that day you were with us somewhere else? Where that refutes the first pair of witnesses. And that situation, says Rabbi Yehuda Merav, that the Chacham would agree to Rav Meir, the Yetzir B'Yir Be'eder, that there, the Asham Tali is not going to have any sanctity. It could go out and just graze in the flock like any regular chulin animal. My time, what's the reason the Chacham would agree over here? Because Ad Kan LePlig Rabban Alev, where do we find Rabban disagreeing with Rav Meir in the Mishnah? That's Elehecha D'Afer Shal Pi'atzmai, like in the classic case where he himself is not clear, he's not sure, so he goes ahead and, you know, because of the situation of Asham Tali, he goes and designates the Asham Tali. V'amina Liba Naikfa, and the Chacham said, we generally say that he's very nervous about the situation, and therefore he's Gomer Makachai. No matter what's going to happen, he's giving it a sanctity. But in the case we're describing, that the reason why he's separating Asham Tali is not because of himself, it's two witnesses are telling him. There he doesn't rely on the witness's testimony because he knows that he didn't eat it. But two witnesses are saying. So the Sava, he thinks, maybe two other witnesses are going to come and they're going to do Hazama to them. And then he's going to get cleared and then his Asham could go back and be be back a chulin, there the Rabban would agree that he's not coming a kacha because it wasn't coming from his own conscience, it was coming from two witnesses. And therefore, when the actual hazama happens, it goes back to being chulin. Masav Rava, however, Rava asks on this interpretation of Yehudim Rav from the Lach of Mishnah. A Mishnah said, after it spoke about Dasham Tali, it said, Shehar Niskel Einikain. The ox that has to be stoned is not the same halacha like Ashim Tali. Meaning, the Rabbanu do not disagree. And that is, imachle niskel, if, let's say, they discover that this ox does not have to be stoned before it's stoned, so Yitzavir Be'ed Didicham would agree that, okay, so then it could just graze like a regular chulin animal. Now, says the Gemara, Heichadami, what's the case of the Mishnah? If the situation was because two witnesses came and said, hey, he killed the person, so therefore he has to be stoned. And then two witnesses came and said, no, he didn't do it. And therefore, that's why he's cleared the ox. And that says the Gemara, why would you see fit to listen to the last pair of witnesses? Maybe listen to the first pair. Why would that necessarily clear the ox that it could just go and graze in the flock? Elalav, rather proves Rava, is Be'edi Hazama. The Mishnah is talking about a situation where the second pair of witnesses said the first pair of witnesses weren't even there. And therefore, in the halacha of Hazama, we believe the second pair of witnesses. So it comes out that that's what the Mishnah is saying. Regarding the Shehar Niskel, the Chum would agree to a mayor that's not like the halacha of Ashim Tali, because there you can't say this concept of Liba Naikvai. He didn't do any sin, it's just if his ox gets stoned or not. So therefore, when it turns out that the second pair of witnesses are believed, so Yetzav Yerbeid, that's why the Mishnah said even they're going to agree that it goes out to graze in the flock. Now, but the point of the question is like this. So that's the case that we're saying that Shehar Niskel is not like Ashim Tali. Now, with the Kava Sega by Ashim Tali, that means to say that the same parallel case must be by the Halach of Ashim Tali, which is Be'ed Azama. That is, what's happening now before the carbon is being brought, that saying, oh, he doesn't have to bring the Ashim Tali anymore, is because there's a second pair of witnesses telling the first pair of witnesses, how could you say he ate that Safek Chaylev, but you weren't even there in that day? And still we see in the Mishnah, in the Halach of Ashim Tali, Upligi, that even though the pair of witnesses were Huzam, the Rabban disagree with Remeir, and they say that it does have a sanctity, and it will have to be brought its proceeds for a carbon, because we see Liber Neikfei, which is not like Vidim Rav. Freedom Rav said in the situation we just described of Ba'asham Talish Hosma Edov that they would agree that there we see from the parallel case of the Shehar Niskel that the case of Ba'asham Talish is the same thing. They were talking about Hosma Edov and still the Rabban disagree. Amalei Abai says, no, it's not difficult. The Dilma Shehar Niskel, maybe it's not the case that you describe. Maybe you're right. The Shehar Niskel is not one pair of witnesses, another pair of witnesses, because why would we leave the second pair of witnesses? But maybe the case of the Shehar Niskel, where we find out that he didn't really kill and therefore he doesn't have to be stoned, the ox. Heichidam, what would the case be talking about? Not the way you said it with Huzam. Rather, Kugan Shebaharig. We're talking about that man who was testified that the ox had killed him, that man comes in front of us, Baraglov, with his own feet healthy and intact. That's where the Rabban would agree that, okay, so obviously the ox didn't kill, and there's no Liba Nikvi over there, so then this ox could go out and just graze like a regular whole animal. Or the Kavasega by Ashim Tali, and that would be the parallel case in the Ashim Tali, Kagenda Hukra Chaticha, where the obvious facts come in front of us when the dead man's walking in, or here where the remaining piece of the two pieces that were eaten is recognized, and it turns out that they know that, and they could ascertain that this one's chalim, means to say that the piece that the person ate was shuman, was kosher fat. That's where Rabban and disagree, and they say still that Ashim Tali that he sanctified is going to be sanctified because since he was libud nikfei, he was gomer makdashay. Aval heichad afreshay l'ashim tola pi'edim, but in the case of when the reason why he had made the carbon was because of witnesses' testimony, there you could say that, no, it's not Liber Nikvei, like Rav Yehuda Merav said. Because you think, witnesses, I know I didn't do it. I'll bring witnesses and that will do Hazam and show that they weren't there on that day. There we could say that actually, like Rav Yehuda Merav had said, that Rabban would not disagree, and they would agree to a mayor in that case, that it wouldn't be Liber Nikvei, and be Yetzav Yer Beid. Now, however, the Gemara says that Beplukta, just like we have this machlekes Rabbi Yehuda and Rava regarding the Rabbi Yehuda said that the Chacham agree in the case of Ashim Tali Shehuzma Edov, and Rava disagreed and he had asked from the Halacha of Shehar Niskel, so too the Gemara brings right now that we have the same machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Elazar. Ashim Tali Shehuzma Edov, the same case. Ashim Tali, where he was bringing because witnesses says he ate maybe forbidden fats, and then two witnesses come and say, how could you say that you weren't there that day? So Rabbi Lazaim, he says, Harehi k'minchas k'nois. Has the same halacha, like what's called the jealousy flower offering, which refers to the mincha seita, which is when a woman is suspected of adultery. So there's a whole procedure done in the Beis Hamikdash, and she brings a carbon mincha. What does it mean that it's going to have the same halacha like the mincha of seita? Because the Tanya, learn the Braisa. Nimtzu eidei zaymimin, if the witnesses who were the ones that caused her to go through the whole seita procedure, which are the witnesses who said, we saw her secluded with that man that she was warned not to seclude with, then it turns out that those witnesses were actually refuted through hazama process. Minchasa teitzi l'chum. So the Braisa says, so the mincha has no sanctity. Turns out it was all one big fake, and it's chulin, and it's regular flour. So says Rabbi Lazar, so here is the same thing goes over here. The Ashram Tali was only because of witnesses. Turns out the witnesses were a fake. So then there was no sanctity at all, and it's going to be considered as chulin. Now, that would be like the way Rabbi Yehuda had said. But Rabbi Yechonam, he says, like the way Rava had said, that no, year out she is tithe. No, even over here, the Rabbanan do dispute Reb Meir, and they would say that it has to graze until it develops a blemish, and it has to be sold, and its monetary proceeds go for a donated carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. But the question is, Reb Yechonam nedami l'minchas kenois, why doesn't it compare? Isn't it similar like the way Rabbi Lazar compared it to that price of minchas kenois? Same thing. Here she was because of the witnesses bringing this mincha. When they're huzam, then it's chulin. So over here, he's bringing the Ashram Talu because of witnesses. When they're huzam, so it should go be in, it should be chulin. Says the Gemara, loydami. No, they're not comparable. Why? Minchas kenais loylecha parakasya. The flower offering that the seita brings is not for atonement purposes. El lavar oven. It's to verify sin, which is the whole procedure of the seita procedures, which is to verify, is it true? Is she lying? Did she commit the sin? Did she not? But not as atonement. It's a verification procedure. So therefore, okay, no is no, so it's nothing. Aval Ashram Tali, but regarding Ashram Tali, Dilchapara Asi, where it's coming to atone for him. So, as because it wards off any punishments until he definitively finds out one with the other. So, Matechshali Benaikfa, that's the Svar of the Rabbanu, which would still apply by Ashram Tali, even in the case of Huz Me'edav, since his heart was banging and out of fear. He went ahead and he was conclusively sanctified, even if witnesses are the ones that told him. He said, witnesses said I did. I don't think so. Maybe I did. Okay, so even if the Huz Me'edav, it's still going to have the same Svar of the Rabbanu, according to Rabbi Yechonon and Rava, and therefore it's still going to have the sanctity to be Yitzi and to have the blemish, and then his proceeds as Nadav. Now, continuing the theme we mentioned before regarding the Shar HaNiskal and Huz Me'edav, so Amr Chris Bedai, he said that Amr Rabbi Yechonon said, Shar HaNiskal Shar Huz Me'edav. Regarding an ox that had to be stoned because of witnesses' testimony saying he killed a person. Turns out that those witnesses are huzam, but they were huzam after that the court had already passed the verdict that, okay, this ox has to be stoned. And as they're on the way, they say, hey, wait a second, witnesses say, how could you have said that? So the halacha is, kol machzik bai, zacha bai. Whoever goes and then quickly grabs the rights to this ox, merits in it, it's his. Why? Because the moment the Gemara didn't, the verdict was handed down. So the owner was already mafkir. It says, okay, this animal is going to be stoned. You can't have any benefit from it. And then when it turns out there wasn't, so the person could go quickly get it because he's getting it from hefker. Now Amar Rav, he qualifies and he says, Mistabri Tamid Rabbi Yechon, it's logical to say that the reasoning of Rabbi Yechon was, could go into Amrile when the witnesses had said to the owner of the ox, that nirvish shayre. One of the cases that an ox has to be stoned is if it was sodomized and a person engaged with bestiality with the animal. And then the court passed a verdict that the ox has to be stoned based on the testimony of the witnesses. At that point, we could assume that the person most definitely was mafkrid because he thinks that these are true witnesses, and therefore he says, okay, this is what happened to the ox. So therefore it's hefker, meaning he's mafkrid because it's like, okay, I have no monetary benefit anymore from this ox. That's where it would apply. Aval amru rava shayrai. That's only if they say that it was sodomized, meaning by someone else, and witnesses testified. But if they said that Rav Asher, that he sodomized his ox, therefore the ox has to be killed, who ba'atzmai made the yedid alei Rav? He knows himself that he didn't commit an act of bestiality. But le mafkale, and therefore he's not mafkaret, even with the verdict, because v'tarucha ma'isi eidim, he's going to go through the effort, and he's going to be witnesses to go ahead and do azama to those first pair of witnesses, and therefore then a person, we could assume that even Rabbi Yechon would agree, would not be able to be zeichin. Now, however, the Gemara asks, what's the difference between this halacha that we just mentioned and that which was said in the name of Rish Lakish? He says, Ir HaNidachas, which is a city that was subverted and they were all convinced to go ahead and commit idolatry, at least if the majority of the city is, so they get a certain punishment, certain loss. Now, all their money gets wiped out. Shehuz Me'edav, Turns out the witnesses who had testified that this was Irani Dachas, the Hazama was done and was proven that they were liars. So the Halacha says, Rish Lakish, says, whoever merits in the people's monies over there, you got it, because there was already Hafker. Now, in that situation, even though every single person knows that he didn't sin, and actually that ended up being verified through Hazama that they didn't sin, and still we see that, we say that regarding their monies, even though you would say that they're not mafkrid, because that was Rav's Svara, when the person himself knows that he didn't, so he's not mafkrid, still we see that it is considered hefker, and therefore that's a refutation of Rav. So the Gemara, no, it's different over there, because Irani Dachas, the subverted city, is the Rabninu. We're talking about the public, it's a whole city. Kol chadam ebedaiti, every single individual says to himself, look, anot lo chatoi, he says, you're right, I know I didn't sin. But achrina chata, but could be others sinned. And the halacha is, abroad is in Perka Chelik and Sanhedrin, the halacha is by the Irani Dachas that even the righteous who didn't sin, they have to go out with nothing. Their money gets lost. It does get wiped out with the rest of the city. And therefore, Mafkimoni, so therefore he says, okay, it seems like the court already decided we're Irani Dachas, and therefore all the money is going to be wiped out, so he's Mafkrit. And that's even if he knows he didn't sin. In this case, we're talking about an individual, the B'didei Tali Milsa, where the whole halacha is dependent on himself, where the thing that he committed a bestiality with the animal, who ba'atzim made the yotit like Rava. He knows himself he didn't do that, but like Mafkali, if he's not going to be Mafkali, because with Taruch HaMaisi Edim, he's going to go through the effort to bring Edim, and therefore Rava's halacha still stands to qualify Rabbi Yechanan, that in that situation, we wouldn't say that it's Hefker for whoever wants to be Zeicha to be Zeicha. Now, thing on this theme of Kolamazik Ba'zachaba, another teaching from Amr Shlakish, he says, "Hanisin maton lechaveh." Someone gives a gift to his friend. V'ama Allah, and the recipient says, "Yef sheba, I don't want it." So the halacha is, "Kolamachzik ba'zachaba." Whoever wants to merit it, can merit it, because this guy already gave it. This guy's not taking it; he's mafkir it. So whoever wants to get it can get it because it's hefker. Says the Gemara, "But a maishna mahad Amr Rabba Baravu Amr Rav Sheshes." V'amal, and some say it was Amr Bavo Amr Rav Sheshes. That mekabel matanam. If someone's receiving a gift, which specifically we're talking about, as we're going to shortly clarify, a document of a gift of a piece of land, of real estate, sha'amar, that the recipient says, la'achar shabbas, after that the document of the matana comes, li'yadoi, after it comes to him, he says, matana zutivatal, this gift, I want it to be voided, or mevutelis, or it's going to be void. So, or e'af shabbas says, I don't want it. Now, all these terminologies, as Rashi explains, are future terminologies. I want it to be nullified, I don't want it, but he already received it. So therefore, and actually the gear sois here are switched around the way Rashi brings it, is actually the words are here, loyamaklum. He hasn't said anything, because you already got it. You say, I don't want it to be, well, you don't want it to be, you know, you weren't mocking it to anyone, you didn't go ahead and do anything now actively, you just said, you don't want it to be, you want it to be void, but that's not halachically sound. You already took it. And therefore, if let's say he has creditors, since that he acquired it for that one moment, so they could go ahead and collect from him because he already acquired it. Now, additionally, Rashi points out that from this part of the halacha of Rav Sheshes, we can't ask and say, hey, this seems to refute the teaching of Rish Lakish, because Rish Lakish says from the same terminology of Efshi, that actually it does do something, because that was the case he described. Someone says, Efshiba, that it is going to be Hefker, and here we're saying that Efshiba is Loyim Aklum, is because, and this is what we alluded to just before, when Rish Lakish says his halacha, is talking about a gift of metalton, of a movable item. So that means to say that he already received it, the person already put it into his hand. Then he says, Efshiba, I don't want it. So he's Mafker, I don't want it. It's like Hefker, so then it's going to be Hefker. But this situation, the person who's getting the document of this piece of real estate, he's not being mafker the field when he's saying, I don't want it. Rather, he's saying a desire that he doesn't want that the documentation of the gift should be valid, but that doesn't help because he's not really doing anything. He's not being mafker anything. He doesn't really have the land. He's just saying, I don't want it to be. And that's not valid. However, it's the second half of the halacha that's the wonder and the contradiction of Rish Lakish's teaching. Because the teaching continues and says, but if let's say he says betelehi, it is void, not that I want it to be void like in the first case, or ein matana, it's not a gift. So here the halach is the girsa is dvarv kayamin, his words are valid, because here the understanding is in the past tense, and he's saying, what, when I accepted this, I did not accept it for the purposes of receiving a gift, it's not a gift. Now that's an admission of the person himself, which it's like 100 witnesses are testifying, and therefore his words are valid, and therefore that's not a gift. He hasn't had anything, the creditors can't collect from him. He says, I never got it. It was never mine. And the Gemara continues to Mabez and says, now my love, isn't the understanding when he's saying Devarv Kayamin, when Rav Sheshet is saying that his words are valid, what does he mean his words are valid? The Harjul Lamara. That goes back to the owner, to the one who gave it to me. He said, I never got it, so it means it was never given. Never given, it means it's the owner's. So we see that obviously that saying these words are valid, and when it's valid, it goes back to the owner. So that's not like Rish Lakish, who he said that it's going to be hefker, which means to say that the person did get it, and then but he's mafker it, so it's not the one who gave it, not the recipient. So whoever wants to take it, he would say, no, not whoever wants to take it could take it. It's that no, I never got it, and it goes back to the owner. So does it go back to the owner, or is like Rish Lakish says that no, it doesn't go back to the owner. Whoever wants could take it. Says Gemara, no, it's not difficult because Dvarav Kayamin. What does it mean that his words are valid? That means that this recipient also doesn't acquire it, but it also doesn't go back to the owner. Whoever wants to marry it, can marry it in it. Now, Rashi points out that the Gemara could have also answered that, no, it's not even comparable to Rish Lakish's case. Because over here, since he says that I didn't receive it for the purposes of a gift, so then, yeah, we would say it goes back to the original owner, because when a person is giving a gift, his intention is for the recipient to receive it. If he's not going to receive it, it's not a gift. So then, yeah, it's right, it's going to go back to the original owner. But in the case of Rish Lakish, we're talking about after that he received the gift, then he's being mafkerit. As the Gemara is actually going to explain this and actually answer it on another question. But the Gemara didn't answer it over here because it was able to give this type of rejection of the question. So it said it like that, but ultimately actually, the Gemara is going to actually say that same type of Svara. But at this point, the Gemara is just saying that no. Not difficult because we could actually infer in the words and say that Dvarv Kayamin, what does it mean Dvarv Kayamin in these cases that he's saying Eina Matana? It means Dvarv Kayamin that It's a terminology of being hefker, just like Rish Lakish. But the Gemara continues asking Rish Lakish Meisveif in the following price. If someone says to his friend who was a partner with him in this field, he says, Dinu Dvarim Inli Al Sadazu, laws and words, I have no claims on this field. Or Inli Esik, but I have nothing to do with this field. Or Biyodim Misulakisim, and my hands are removed from this field. Says the bride. So Lo Yamaklum, he hasn't said anything, he hasn't lost his rights in the 50% partnership in this field. Now, says the Gemara, but Vahayadi Musulakisam, under the case of my hand is removed, is Kiyafshadam, it's just like I don't want this. My hand's removed, it's the same idea. But Katani and the Brisa says, Loy Maklumi hasn't said anything, meaning that comes out that when you're saying I don't want this, it's not a terminology of hefker or of gifting. Because he's saying he hasn't said anything. If it would be, then he would be mafke. He would be losing his rights. So that refutes Rish Lakish and Rav Sheshet that they said that Dvarav Kayamin, the way we just explained, that they hold that the words are valid and that it is something of removal of the rights from this situation. Here we see that it doesn't do anything. So Zigmund, no, Shani Hassan, there it's different. Because the Amma we say, Ki Salak Nafshe, when is he removing himself? When he's saying Yodi Misalekes Semena? It's Midin Udvarim. What's he removing himself? From din and dvar. What does that mean? The way the Gemara is understanding it now is actually saying that these three terminologies were not different cases. Actually, he said all these three different terminologies. So therefore we say that all of them are regarding the opening words that he said of din or dvar. And what he's saying is that I'm not going to litigate, I'm not going to speak on this field with anybody. Why? To the contrary, because it's so presumed to be mine. And therefore, I have nothing to deal with another person with dinah dvarim. My hand is removed from dinah dvarim because I don't have to deal with other people because it's obvious that it's mine. So therefore, it's actually to the contrary. He's removing himself from dinah dvarim that I don't have to deal with people. But maguvah disodeli salak nafshe. He wasn't removing himself from the field itself. And therefore, of course, he hasn't said anything to remove himself from the field because, to the contrary, it's actually supporting his rights in the field. And therefore, it's not a difficulty in Rish Lakish that when someone actually is saying ef shebehen, then maybe actually it would remove him, and it would be like a terminology of hefker. But the Gemara continues asking Meisiv and Rish Lakish from a Mishnah in the second paragraph of the Schlundaf Lamed Tesem Beis, which discusses the laws of a Shchimra. Shchimra is a person on his deathbed, and he's hakoisin the chasav lachem. He writes his properties, his last will and testament, he's writing over his properties to someone else. Now, v'hoi ben avodah, and in that properties that he's writing over to this other person, were included his slaves. Now, the recipient says, I don't want this. Now, the Gemara in Chulin explains that the machlekes that we're about to quote is talking about where he merits it to that other person through a gift of a documentation of a gift through someone else. And he gives it to this other person and say, I want you to merit it for that person. Now that person is standing over there on the side. He's silent. And subsequently, he then starts screaming, says, no, I don't want this. The Rabban holds, and the fact that initially he was silent, obviously he wanted that gift. And therefore he acquired it. Now that he's starting to scream, now he wants to back up. So therefore, if that second master, meaning this recipient, was a kain, the slaves could eat truma because they're considered his assets. Now he's saying, I don't want to want. Okay, we're not selling it. You're not acquiring it to anyone else by doing that. You already got it. It's too late to scream that you don't want it because you're already silent in the beginning. So therefore, these slaves are the slaves of this guy now who's a kain, so they could eat truma like Eved of a kain. He disagrees. He says, no, since he says he doesn't want it, that means to say that the inheritors of the Shchivmera already merited, meaning the second guy never got it, because of what's called the end reveals his original intention, that he never really wanted it in the beginning, and therefore it was never his, and the slaves were never the slaves of a kain, and therefore they cannot eat Shuma. Says the Gemara as follows. We understand from this last opinion of Shimon Gamliel that it's not difficult on Rish Lakish, because since he holds that the end makes it obvious regarding what was the beginning, means to say that, yeah, this gift that the Shchimer was writing to this second person never left the domain of the first guy, of the Shchimera, because the second guy never intended to receive it. And Ksava Kiyov, Inish Matana, and Shem Lil understands that when a person is giving a gift, which is what the Shchimer is trying to do, Adaita de Mekam Lemenei, his intention is that the recipient should receive from him. Kilo Mekam Lemenei, when the person is not receiving, with this guy, he's proving he never received it from him. So of course it's going to go back to the owner. In contrast to Rish Lakish was always talking about that he acquired it, and then he says, "Oh, Yav Sheben," which is then it's going to be terminology of Hefker. Then it would be saying that you already got it, and now you're being mafker. But El Tanakama, according to Tanakama, it's going to be difficult to Rish Lakish, because since the Tanakama disagrees with Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, and he doesn't hold to this concept of Chiyach Sefer Tchilasai, which obviously means to say that the second person acquired it, and that's why he's saying that you acquired it, and therefore the Avadim are his Eved to be able to eat Truma. But then you have the following question. Iki Amar E'ef Shebehen. If the halacha is going to be that when a person says, I don't want this, it's a terminology of Hefker, and Kolamach Shebehen Zachaben, and then therefore whoever wants to get the rights in it could get the rights in it, which was the halacha of Rish Lakish. So then in this case, in this mission over the Chulun, where the second person is saying, I don't want them, so therefore the halacha is going to be like Rish Lakish. So whoever wants to merit in these rights of these properties, including these slaves, that the Shchima wrote over to this person, who got it, according to Tanakhama. But he's saying, Yevshben, so it's Hefker. So that means to say that the slaves acquired themselves from Hefker to be free men, because no one owns them anymore, and they could acquire themselves, because they were Hefker. So Havluzarim, that makes these slaves into like regular Yisraelim, like Gerim, which are non-Kahanim. They're not even the Eved of a kind. And you're saying that they could eat Truma, but V'ka'achli Zarm Truma, according to Rish Lakish, comes out, the way he's describing the case of Tanakama, is that non-Kahanim are eating Truma. Rather, it's obvious the Gemara's question is, from the fact that the Tanakama is saying that they could eat Truma, obviously is because what the second person said was not significant. Because saying Yav Shebehen is not a terminology of Hefker. That refutes Rish Lakish and the way we interpret it for Rav Sheshet, who they said that the words are valid and it's going to be Hefker and it's going to go out to, they're going to, that, and they would hold that the men would be free men because they acquired themselves from Hefker, but from the Tanakama we see clearly that they're not and that they're considered Avadim of the second person. Says Gemara, no, it's still not difficult because Ksavar, Tanakama holds you right. Hamafker Abdu Yatzlacheres, which is a case of Hefker, because he said Yav Shebehen. He acquired it. Yes, Tanakama disagrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel, it's not a Chisayv Tchilasi, but the saying Yav Shebehen, like Rish Lakish said, is making it Hefker. And Yatzlacheres, you're right, they go out to be free. However, Betzorch gets Shichur Merabai. They still need a document of emancipation from their master. They're free, can't work with them, but they still need to get Shichur. And the Tanakhama held that whoever didn't yet receive his get shichur is still halachically considered as the Eved of the kind, and that's why they could eat truma. And therefore, it's not a refutation of Rish Lakish, because yeah, there was halach of Hefker by saying Yav Shebehen. Now, the Mishnah had said a third opinion that we didn't discuss up until now, We were first discussing the opinion of Rebbe and the Rabbanan regarding in the halacha of Ashram Tali, where it turns out he didn't sin. And what do you do with Ashram Tali? So Rebbe says, okay, it's chulin. Chama said, no, sanctity, you know, nekfei libay, gomer makadshai, so you have to sell its proceeds and use it for a nedava. Rebbe Eliezer Amahia was a third opinion. He says, yikrev chulin, you could go ahead and sacrifice it as a carbon. Now, the Gemara 1 is Rebbe Eliezer, lama lichet. According to Rebbe Eliezer, why do you even need this interpretation to say that there was a possible sin, and okay, turns out he didn't sin. So Rebbe Eliezer says, okay, don't worry, you could bring a carbon, because if he didn't sin this sin, which turns out he didn't, that's some other sin that he probably sinned for. So you could bring the Ashram Tali. Says the Gemara, why does he need any sins? Rebbe Eliezer says, Ashram Tali bin Nadava Asi, a person can bring a donated Ashram Tali every single day. Did not like learn the Mishnah on the next daf on Chafayim and Aleph. Rebbe Eliezer, he says, a person could donate Ashram Tali every single day. You don't have to know about, oh, likely there's some other sin. Why does he have to say in the Mishnah that's Yaakov because of that logic? So Ravashi says, you're right, it's not the regular Rebbe Eliezer, it's Rebbe Eliezer de Amalehu. It's Rebbe Eliezer of that they said to him, which we'll see in the Mishnah in the next Daf, the non like learn the Mishnah, that there was someone who followed the teaching of Rebbe Eliezer, and Elo Imrim Loi, but they told him, look, you can bring every single day, but not the day after Yom Kippur. Because Hamtu Nacha Tikkun Slabes Sabbath, you have to wait until it comes to a situation, at least that the situation of doubt, that there's a possibility that you committed some sin, whether a positive commandment, a negative commandment, a punishment of Kavas, but it has to be some element of a possibility of bringing Ashram Tali. It's that Rebbe Eliezer's version that the Rebbe Eliezer in our mission is saying that, okay, fine. Turns out you don't need Ashram Tali for this sin, but very likely some other sin, and therefore you can bring it, and you can bring it as a carbon. It's going according to that version of Rebbe Eliezer. Now the Mishnah continued, said, now that was all the machlekes, the three machlekes, if it turns out that he doesn't need Ashram Tali because he didn't sin before anything was ever done. But said the Mishnah, im Mishnah nishchet noy debuchulu, but if, let's say, the animal's already slaughtered, then, as the Gemara says, ketani ulit in the Mishnah, habasu yatzle beis ha-strefa, then it was already slaughtered, so then, and it turns out that you can't just continue doing the avayde because it's not a real Ashram Tali because you know he doesn't need it, so the meat goes out and it's burnt. Says the Gemara, Alma Chulin Shanishkla Bazar B'Sreifas. Obviously, we see that Chulin, which is really retroactively revealed that that's what this carbon was, because he's not Chayav a carbon, was really an unconsecrated animal that was slaughtered in the Azara, then B'Sreifas has to be burnt. Says the Gemara, V'Ramini, but the Mishnah itself later on contradicts this. The Mishnah said, when it's contrasting, it says, Asham Vadi Enikin, but a regular definitive Asham, that's Asham Naziris, Asham Me'ila, some other Asham, is different halacha than Asham Tali, where the other Rabban do not disagree. If it wasn't slaughtered yet, then Yetzavir Be'eda, then it's considered Hekdesh Tali. Even the Chum would agree, it could just go out and graze in the flock. Now, Mishnah Nishchet, but if it was already slaughtered, so then, again, you slaughtered Chul in the Azara, because it turns out it doesn't really need it, but it was already slaughtered. In the Azara, how is it you cover? It should be buried. Buried? Is Chul in Shanishchet Azara Sreifa, or is it buried? So Amr Balaza, he says, Tavi, you're right, there's a definitely contradiction over here. Misha Shanazu, Le Shanazu, whoever taught the halacha in Ashram Tali in our Mishnah, is not the same one teaching regarding Ashram Vadai, because they're both Chul Mazar, and one is saying Tsrefa, and one is saying that it has to be buried. Now, Amr Rabbi disagrees. He says, no. Ashram Vadai, Al Ashram Tali Karam, is you're posing contradiction regarding what's the halacha of when it was already slaughtered regarding by mistake, because it turns out it doesn't need it, of a definitive Ashram regarding the Ashram Tali? That's not a contradiction. Asham Vadai, by the definitive Asham, where we could assume that he didn't sanctify it, had he known, Kivin Delay Tsarchle, that he's not really going to need it, Le Maktishle, he didn't sanctify it. In other words, obviously, it's Hektish Tais. It was a mistaken sanctification. But Asham Tali, as we were explaining all along, there was always a situation of doubt. And he thought that, yeah, maybe I didn't sin, but even so, I want this to be sanctified. So therefore he revealed his intention of Metech Shaliba Naikva, because he's very anxious about did he not do it. So therefore he conclusively goes and makes it sanctified. And therefore, even if it turns out he doesn't need it, that's not quote chulin that was slaughtered in the Azara, because he wants it to be sanctified no matter what the situation is. So it's like other kachim that have an invalidation in it, because it's a kachim, but it's invalidated because it cannot be brought as its initial sanctification as Ashram Tali, where there the halacha, as the Gemara says in Pesachim, Nefchav Dal Manav, there it gets Sreifa. So that's not a contradiction. It's chulin, which is the case of Ashram Vadai, Shanish Bazar, that's Kavur. Ashram Tali is not chulin. It's like kachim, which has a psul, that's why it gets burnt. Eli Kasha, but says Rabbah, but if you do want to ask a contradiction in our Mishnah, Ashem Badi, Aloshem Badi Kasha. We have a contradiction in the halachas of Ashem Badi itself. Because Iktani, we learned in the Mishnah that said, in the case we just described, that if it's already slaughtered, okay, harizi yikavasi yiberi. But Ema Seifa, look at the next words of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, but if let's say the blood was already thrown, and turns out that it was a mistake, it doesn't really, there was no carbon to be required, because he doesn't require this Ashem. Oh, so then the halach is, v'abasa yotzele beis treifa. Then the meat has to go out and be burnt. Burnt? Which one? It's chulin. It's the same case of Ashem Vaday. What's the difference after it was slaughtered, after the blood was thrown? Why is it first saying that it's buried, now it's saying that it's being burnt? Says Rabbah, Havadi Tavr. That's the most definitely contradiction. Mishanazu, Leshanazu must be the one who taught this line is not the same as teaching this line regarding what's the halach of chulin shenishkel basar. However, Vashi, he says, no, he comes to resolve even the halach of Ashem Vaday. And skip the line, and he says, Mishum de Mischazik is Evach Pasal. No, there's a difference between after Shkita or after Zrika. Because after the blood was already thrown, if then is when, quote, the invalidation happens, which is then we find that it doesn't really have to bring the Yashem, then it appears like a Zevach Pasal. Because the blood was already thrown, which is the main part of the carbon, which is what brings atonement. And if then we're going to bury it, people are going to come to say that regular Kachem that become invalidated, that it's buried, which that's not Halacha, it's burnt. So therefore, since it appears like a zevach pasul, which halacha has to be burnt, once the blood is thrown, therefore the blood has to be, the meat has to be burnt over there. In contrast, when it's just after the slaughtering, then the meat is buried like a regular chun shenishkel basara, and it's not burnt. Now the Gemara continues that the Mishnah said regarding the laws of Ashem Tali, where we spoke about that if it was discovered that it's not necessary before anything happened, or regarding after that it was already slaughtered. Then the Mishnah said, and if Nizrug Adam, the blood was already thrown, and then it turns out they come out and they say, hey, you didn't really have to bring it, we found that you didn't really sin, then Habasi Yachal, then the meat could be eaten. So it's Gemara Vamai, why? Ha'avi le'yidia. But there is an awareness here that, meaning to say, the Torah said, when do you bring the Ashem Tali? The lo yada, when he doesn't know if he sinned or not. That's when you bring the Ashem Tali. But if he knows, then not. So it turns out that the Ashem Tali was not necessary. So how could he eat the meat? So Amar Rabbi says, no, because Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, yeah, it says, v'hu lo yada, that if he was unaware, then this lach loy, and therefore the Ashem Tali is going to be an atonement for him. Now, he did not have an awareness at the time of the forgiveness, which is what the primary part of forgiveness of a carbon, the atonement, is this week as Adam, which that's the primary atonement, as the Pasuk says in Mikra Yizayin, v'ni nesat lecha mezbeach, which is the atonement, which is the throwing of the blood. And the pasuk says, "V'hu lo yada v'nislach loy." When do you need lo yada? Is during the slicha. Yeah, at that point, by the zrikas adam, it wasn't aware. It was only afterwards. So that was already accomplished, the lo yada. And therefore now, even though you find out, you could eat the meat. It's a kosher carbon of Ashem Tali. Now, the Mishnah said, Rabbi Yisrael, I mean, he said even more, even a bigger chiddush. He says, even if they find out that before the blood is thrown, as long as the blood is in the receptacle, in the vessel where it's then thrown from, even if they find out that he doesn't have to bring Ashem Tali, the halacha is you could eat the meat. Now, says Gemara, and he says, because you throw the blood and you eat the meat. Says Gemara, L'Rabisa, Ma'yizark, why do you throw the blood? We just brought from the Pasuk that you have to have non-awareness during the time of the Zrikas Adam. And here we know, because the blood wasn't thrown yet. And we know that he doesn't have to bring it, so how could you go in and throw the blood? So Amarav, he says, because Rabisi, Sabla Krib Shimon. The Amar that he says, whatever is ready to be thrown is like it was thrown. As the Gemara says, Baba Kama, Perak Merubi, Devayin Vav Mabes. Say, Rosa, it's like it was already thrown. So therefore, when you're finding out, it's already post the Slicha, even though in actuality it wasn't, but in Halacha it is, and therefore that's why it's not a contradiction. I mean, to say that it's you already accomplished V'hu lo yada b'nisach lo, and you could throw it and you could eat the meat. But that the Gemara asks, wait. When do we find Reb Shimon says this svara of kol ayim lezark azark dami? B'midi de ayim lezark, that someone that in actuality really is ready to be thrown, and then the blood spills up. But we see it like as if it was because it was really, and it's still it was standing to be thrown. Aval high ein ayim lezark. In the case that we're describing, it's not standing to be thrown because we know he didn't sin. In other words, the end will ultimately verify before the blood is thrown. What's called igloy milsel mafrei, we know that it's not oimid lezark, because and this is the blood wasn't throwing it because we know he didn't really sin. So there's no oimid lezark in it right now. So how could you say you could throw it? You don't have the halach as if it was thrown already, and that's because that's the difference in Reb Shimon's context and our halach over here. So the Gemara says you're right. Amri ben Marabba, they said in the West in Eretz Yisrael a different interpretation. Ksever b'yisi held clay sharis, a service vessel like over here where the blood was already received in the clay sharis. Once it's in the klisharis, which has sanctity, it sanctifies even what is invalid initially to go ahead and sacrifice it. So we wouldn't initially do that. But once it was already put in, and only then we find out that, hey, you don't have to bring Hashem Tali, it already sanctified it. And since it's sanctified it, then you go ahead and spray the blood, which then it's already a kosher carbon, because that's the whole utility of Hashem Tali, even though you end up finding out. And therefore, that's where Rabbi Yossi held, that once it's sanctified the Kli Sharet, you can throw it, and then you can eat the meat of this carbon of the Hashem Tali, even though it was found out before the actual throwing of the blood.